Nursing Your Spiritual Health with Dr. Maxine Okello.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Nursing Your Spiritual Health with Maxine. It's been a while, but I'm so happy to be back. We are still continuing with a series that is The Fear of the Lord. And this time, our episode is about Isaac. And so we're going to talk about God, who is the fear of Isaac. And this is such an interesting title because we get to see a dimension of God. We call God in all kinds of names based on what he has done in our lives. And so we get to discover God, who is the creator, the maker of the heavens and the earth, our father, Abba, the potter. We also know God as the Lord of mercy, the Lord of love. He is love. God is love. God is holy. God is righteousness. God is pure. The monarch of the universe, the ancient of days, Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. You know, he's wonderful. He's faithful and just. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He is the Lion of Judah, the root of David, the deliverer, the helper, Ebenezer, Yahweh Sabaoth, you know, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi. There are so many names that God has, and we've not exhausted them all, but I just found it very interesting to encounter God as the fear of Isaac. And so we're on Isaac today, and we're going to learn about Isaac's fear and how his fear blessed him. And you know, this is not bad fear. This is good fear. This is the kind of fear that the Lord wants us to have. And so before we start, feel free to like, subscribe, and share. Our platform is definitely about knowing God through the word and encountering Jesus as well. And having an opportunity for those who have never experienced Christ to do so and commit their lives to him by going through salvation. And we are happy to help with that. Feel free to give us feedback, and we'd love to hear from you. But as you know, before we start discussing anything, we always have to give our awe and respect to our Lord in heaven. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We give you praise and we give you glory. You're an awesome God. You're a mighty God. We thank you, O Lord, for the gift of life. We thank you, O Lord, for loving us. We thank you for taking care of us each day, for you are the keeper of Israel. As we go to sleep, Lord, you nourish us, you sustain us, and you wake us up, O God. Each day cannot be forsaken. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our friends. We thank you for our places of work. We thank you for the work of our hands and the health of our bodies, oh God, because without your sustenance, we are nothing. Most of all, we are so grateful for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who graciously sacrificed himself to die for us and place us in your alignment, in your will, in your righteousness, and we give you all the praise. We thank you, O Lamb of God, that you have taken away our sins. We thank you that you've allowed us to be joint partakers with God and in the inheritance that you have given us, O Lord. We thank you that you have left yourself in us. You've given us your life. You've given us your power. You've given us the authority and the dominion to go forth doing greater works, harvesting souls, making disciples in each nation and revealing you, O Jesus. We give you praise and we thank you. We are specifically humbled by the gracious gift that is the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the advocate. We thank you for the counselor. We thank you for the teacher. We thank you for the helper. Holy Spirit, you are welcome into this place. And as we continue to learn the word, as we continue to study the word, may you percolate our spirits and reveal the word to us in ways that we've never explored. And may that word become flesh and dwell with us, dwell amongst us. Let it have a ripple effect in our lives with those we interact with and those we come across, that we are a blessing to them as you have blessed us with this word. I ask all this trusting and believing in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, whom we humbly serve. Amen. And so I started to think about Isaac and his encounter with God. And I was drawn to Genesis chapter 31. And I came across verse 42. And I'll be reading it from the NIV version. It says, "If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, you would surely have sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands, and last night he rebuked you." And so this is Jacob speaking to Laban. And this is after, you know, in summary, Jacob has fled from Laban after being mistreated for years. And, you know, Laban had tried to use all sorts of wit to outsource or try and, you know, make more money or make more wealth than Jacob, not knowing that he had a God who was blessing him. And, you know, he thought he had left Jacob in a weakened spot and he would not be productive with his cattle. But, you know, the power of God, the ability of God, the integrity of God shows up, and an angel appears to Jacob and blesses him with an idea. And, you know, Jacob sees this vision and it is manifested. And so we get to see Jacob describe a certain kind of fear that his father had. And that took me to Genesis chapter 26. And this is right after Abraham has passed on, has left the blessing with Isaac. And so Isaac now is moving to Gerar with Rachel. And he comes across Abimelech, who's the king of the Philistines in Gerar. And so the Lord instructed Isaac. This is in Genesis chapter 26, verse 2. "The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live.'" Verse 3 goes on to say, "Stay in this land for a while and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham." Verse 4 goes on to say, "I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed because," verse 5, "Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commandments, my decrees, and my instructions." Now, this is very important because we get to see that not only did God introduce himself, he also gave him instructions, and he also followed it up with an evidence of what obedience would result to. And we get to see Abraham was obedient. And Abraham was obedient and trusting of God because he feared in the Lord. You know, he held God in such a high regard and trusted him so much. And he didn't understand the ways of God, but he said, "I will follow, I will do, I will listen, and I am here and I'm ready." And that is the same attitude we should have. And Isaac learned from his father, and now the Lord appears to him and tells him the same thing. And so Isaac stays in Gerar. And so there'll be instances in your life where, you know, God will want you to do certain things. God will expect you to do certain things. And we have to learn from Isaac, as he learned from his father, that we have to be obedient and do everything that is required of us, and obey the commandments of God. And how do we know what is required of us? It is in the word. It is in fellowship with God. It is in receiving instruction and knowledge that builds us up through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's the fivefold ministry that builds us up as a church. And so you stay in the word. As Isaac stayed in Gerar, you stay in the word. You stay in Christ. You stay in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, listening and ready to do, ready to yield, right? And so going further down this chapter, we see in, I believe, verse 12, It says, Isaac planted crops in that land and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. And it says in verse 13, the man became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. Verse 14 says, he had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. And as we see as a result, that every well that Abraham had digged up, the Philistines tried to cover up, you know, to frustrate him. So we can see that in fearing the Lord, in obeying and trusting him, these things go hand in hand. In fact, I dare say that when you fear the Lord, you birth obedience. When you fear the Lord, you birth trust. When you have obedience and trust, you have faith. And so your faith comes through fearing the Lord, because you know whom you're serving. You know whom you have believed. You know who has persuaded you. And this is the thing about God. God tells you what to do in terms of, he will give you an instruction and he'll probably give you a promise or a prophetic word for your life, but he doesn't share the process. And I think now I understand why he doesn't share the process, because most of the time the process is not friendly and it's not pleasant. I mean, if you look at somebody like Joseph received a prophetic vision from God. He dreamt it. He shared it with his brothers. This guy knew he was going to be someone big that his father and his brothers would look up to. But there was no conversation of being thrown into a dungeon at some point and then being sold and then, you know, being lured, the Potiphar's wife tried to engage him in a whole debacle of lust and then having to be thrown into jail, interpreting dreams for people who were very selfish, not enough to mention his name in the presence of the king. I mean, this was not mentioned at all. It took an unbeliever, you know, having a need, you know, it took God using an unbeliever having a need for the prophetic to come forth, and the king sent for Joseph, you know. And it's interesting because God will give you an instruction. He'll never tell you the process. Miles Monroe usually says, if we learn the process, we'll run away. And that's, I believe that's true, because the process is not meant to be easy. Because as you go through the process, it builds you. God molds you. But the beauty is, you're not going through it alone. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? God is our shepherd. His rod and his staff are present in addition to him. So, you know, the process may be tough, but the end is worth it. And we can see the same thing here. If you read the rest of, you know, Genesis chapter 26, here are the Philistines covering up every well that Abraham dug. And it's famine, because they're not understanding how this man comes in the presence of famine and is getting wealthy and wealthy and wealthy, and there is famine. So they're like, what's going on? He's getting richer than Abimelech. He's getting more prosperous than Abimelech. And this is the thing about God. God did not only just multiply his property, he multiplied the people around Isaac. So, and remember, God said that he gave his father nations. So the people that Isaac were with were not just people. These were nations, right? And so he keeps on moving from place to place, and he's having debacles with people fighting over wells, and he has to move, and he finally settles down in a well where there's no contention, and he calls that well Rehoboth, right? And it's called Rehoboth because this is where, you know, there was no contention, there was no issue, and they're able to prosper. So God appears again to Isaac, and this is in verse 23, and assures him, and this is what I love about God, that even as you go through your process to your prophetic promise or your blessing, God will always be there to even confirm, affirm, support you, encourage you, motivate you. Because on his way to Beersheba, God appeared to him in the night and affirmed to him that I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, because I am with you. And he continues to tell him, I said it again and I'll say it again. I will bless you and I will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant. And this is very important, because sometimes we go through processes and we lose faith. We have doubts, we have fear. But this is an assurance that as you go through that, God will always show up to tell you, listen, you're not alone. I am with you. And so this is a message for someone. If you're in a situation and you feel alone, you're not alone. God's with you. God's with you. You know, God will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. He is faithful even in times that you are faithless. So always rely on God. And that's what the fear of the Lord is about. It creates a system of trust. And basically, when you trust someone completely, you depend on them entirely. You know, and that's very important, because God will lead you to your Rehoboth. He will give you room where you can flourish. He will give you the space, the land, the opportunity, the job, the relationship where you will flourish. You may have gone through a process, but you will reach your Rehoboth and you will flourish. The fear of the Lord is a powerful thing. You know, in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, it says, it is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. So that means that as you have the fear of the Lord, you start to know God, and you know God in a different way, and he gives you his wisdom, and he will also give you instruction. And you would be foolish to turn away from that wisdom and that instruction, because the way of the Lord leads you to a brighter life, glorious life, prosperity, blessing, no matter the process. And so we need to understand that in having the fear of the Lord, we are giving ourselves to having a transformative process in our persona, in our spirit, in our nature, to living a life that is a full dependent attribute in God. Like, we literally give ourselves to God. We surrender ourselves to God. We depend on God. And that basically means that we rely on God for everything we do. And what is the harm with that? I don't see any harm with that. Most of the time, we are always taught to make our decisions. And that's great. And we should now start, including God in our decisions. Even the basic things, we always think, oh, that's not something God would want to know. God would want you to include him in everything that you do. In fearing the Lord, we are responding to God's majesty, his purity, his holiness. And that makes us humble, because we know who he is. Nobody can create this earth. Nobody has the power to cure infirmities or heal the way the Lord does. There is medical science healing. And then there is God's healing, the supernatural healing. There is human wisdom, but then there is God's wisdom, you know. And so we need to remind ourselves of God's authority and righteousness. And that's by exercising the fear of the Lord. It also allows us to be the disciples of Christ. And, you know, much as Jesus Christ right now is seated at the right hand of our Father in heaven, he is still teaching us. He's teaching us through the Word. He's teaching us through the Holy Spirit. And we are his followers. And I love this thing about our Lord. He says, come and follow me. I will make you. It is a wonderful thing to be made by God. It is a wonderful thing to be made by Jesus Christ himself. Through the Word, he makes you. Through fellowship, he makes you. And it allows you to live a life of righteousness and integrity. There is a way to live life that is God's way. You know, it compels you to act accordingly. You live your life according to the standards of Christ and not of this world. You know, you tend to be compassionate to others. You're humble to people because you're reflecting God. You're not just living life for yourself. You're reflecting God. It allows you to have a deep level of intimacy with Jesus Christ himself because you fear him. Wherever you fear him, God wants to reveal more of himself to you. I think it's in Psalms chapter 25 where God says, in fearing me, I make you a friend. You know, I release my secrets to you. This is powerful because we get to see natures and dimensions of God that maybe we have not experienced, that we need in our lives to probably bless us, to relieve us from affliction or adversity, or to even bless those who will be coming after us. Remember, our interactions with God are not just personal. They're going to be, you know, generational. It will help your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren. And it will also help those around you, because that's how God is. God is the love of God is a ripple effect. And that brings the whole concept of community and worship. There's nothing greater than having corporate communal fellowship of how God is great, exalting his name, extolling his name, celebrating his faithfulness, celebrating his impact on our lives as a fellowship. And this is done not only just by attending church, Bible studies. You do it through prayer, praise, proclamations, decreeing and declaring. What a wonderful scene it would be if we just have more people saying, God is great. God is good. God is kind. God is love. God is amazing. God loves each and every one of you. You know, just the same way there's blasting of music, that's hip hop or Afrobeats, or in, you know, social media, we're taking videos of funny videos of funny people, this and that. We need to see more of who God is in our lives. We need to see more of what God has done to people. And this will bless us tremendously. And so my prayer today is for the Holy Spirit to continue to increase our capacity to fear God. That if there are ways we have not learned on fearing the Lord, he shall show us those ways. And in the ways that we have learned in fearing him, may the Lord use that opportunity to speak to us, to draw to us, to bring the concept of covenantal transactions that increase our faith, that lead us to have transformative powers that impact not just our lives, but the generations that come. You know, and I pray that as we do this, not only will we speak of it, but it will be seen in our lives. And people will ask, what is it that you do that allows you to be blessed the way Isaac was blessed? That even when you sow, what you reap is not what you sowed, but what you reap is 100 times fold of what you sowed. This would be a blessing for all of us. It would be a blessing for me. It would be a blessing for you. It would be a blessing for the generations to come. And so, Holy Spirit, help us. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Have a lovely week, guys. I do pray that we get to exercise the fear of the Lord Isaac's way. And I'm hoping that we will get to hear testimonies of people who actually encountered Jesus through this way and what it did to their lives and those around them. Remember, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, feel free to reach out. We are always available and ready to lead you to Christ. And we will therefore, you know, advise you on what to do after. We are happy to receive you, because this is such a wonderful journey. This is such a great lifestyle, and you will truly enjoy the experience. Take care. God bless you, and I will see you next time.
This program has been possible by the friends and partners of the ministry, Deborah's Tribe.